The following is a seminar entitled Pure Devotional Service, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 8th, 2016, in Toronto, Canada.
So tonight we're going to delve into the most wonderful, the most remarkable, the most astonishing, the most stupendous topic of all topics, the topic of pure devotional service. How wonderful it is, how universal it is. In this regard, let us look at a wonderful verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, text number 26 from chapter 7 of the Adi Lila. Saj janna durjana pangu jadda andha gana prema vanyaya du baila jagatera jana. Translation. This Krishna consciousness movement will inundate the entire world and drown everyone, whether one be a gentleman, a rogue, or even lame, indolent, or blind. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here again, it may be emphasized that although jealous rascals protest that Europeans and Americans cannot be given the sacred thread or sannyas, there is no need even to consider whether one is a gentleman or a rogue, because this is a spiritual movement which is not concerned with the external body of skin and bones. Because it is being properly conducted under the guidance of the Panchatattva, strictly following the regulative principles, it has nothing to do with external impediments. Here Srila Prabhupada, actually here Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is telling us about the universal nature of devotional service. Sajjana pangu jadda anagana. Whether you're a pious man, sajjana, durjana, an impious rogue, lame, invalid, blind, whatever you may be, it doesn't matter whether you're qualified, whether you're disqualified, doesn't matter. There's absolutely no requirements to be inundated with this Krishna consciousness. You just have to be at the right place at the right time. But because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, practically anywhere you go, you're going to come in contact with Krishna consciousness. The Harinam party, the book distribution, the centers opening up everywhere, hundreds of centers opening up everywhere. How many here you have? The three centers in the GTA? Yeah. In the beginning, the whole movement didn't even have three centers. Now you have three centers just in one area, you see. So it just keeps growing and growing and growing. So this mercy net of Lord Chaitanya can, like a fisherman, you know, grabbing the fish with the fishing net. So everybody can be pulled in. The classic example, of course, is Jagai Madai. Who could be more disqualified? We all know the story. Most of us have heard that story. You see. Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna Chaitanya, he sent Lord Nityananda and Haridas out on Sankirtan to preach the glories of the name in Navadvip. And they approached these two rascals, Jagai Madai, and they became enraged. They chased them away, you see. Another day they went back. Let us try again to try to preach to these rascals. This time, Madai, he was the bigger rascal than Jagai. Madai smashed Lord Nityananda with a clay liquor pot on the head and drew blood from Lord Nityananda's head. Lord Chaitanya heard of this. He became angry like fire. He came rushing there, invoking his Sudarshan disc as the Supreme Personality of Godhead to annihilate these rascals. But Lord Nityananda, my dear Lord, please spare them. In this age, everyone is the same caliber as these Jagai Madai. This is an age of Jagai Madai. my Lord, if you and I have to annihilate these, you'll have to annihilate everybody in the whole Kali Yuga. So please, my dear Lord, please spare them. Lord Chaitanya is all right on one condition, if they will chant the holy name, you see, and surrender. So they did. They became a little intelligent after seeing that Sudarshan Chakra. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, a little sobered up, seeing that Sudarshan disc. They became great Vaishnavas. In fact, there in Mayapur, there's a place, Madai Ghat, where there's a spot there in the Ganges where Madai built a ghat for the Vaishnavas to take bath. They became humble servants of the devotees, you see. So if even Jagai and Madai, who were rapists, murderers, the most heinous villains you could ever imagine, if they become pure devotees, then there's some hope for us. The guy who dies here, there's some hope for us rogues and rascals. So pure devotional service is actually for everyone, because actually you're already a pure devotee, but you're just covered by material consciousness. So it's not that difficult, really. If you take an ordinary piece of wood and try to get fire out of it, it's a little difficult. Just take an ordinary stick, you know, and strike it on the cement or something. Take an ordinary piece of wood and strike it on the cement and try to get fire out of it. It won't come, you see. But take a match and you strike it on the cement. Choom! There comes the fire. You see, why? What's the difference between an ordinary stick and a match? The ordinary stick doesn't have fire within it. Of course, it does in a very subtle sense. But in a gross sense, it's not available. But a match has the fire within it. So just by striking that match, the fire comes bursting out, you see. So all of us are like matches. We all have pure devotional service within us. Jivera Svarupa Hoy Krishnara Nitya Das, the constitutional nature of every single jiva soul throughout all of existence is, he is a pure devotee. Krishna. So all he needs is that striking service. But is that, that's to come in contact with Krishna once again by the holy name, by a book, by a devotee, by prasadam for the kumaras. It was just the smell of the incense offered to the Lord. They were impersonalists. They just caught that aroma in their nose and phew, their prema, that Krishna consciousness awakened, reawakened within their hearts. So, what does that mean for us here who are struggling with our anarthas, our lust, our anger, our greed, our madness, illusion, envy, our fear? What does that mean for us? That means you too, Prabhu, you too, Manaji. Some people reject, oh no, we're all Prabhus here. Shouldn't say Mataji anymore. But actually, Mataji is also a Prabhu. As a kid, my dad was my Prabhu. My mother was also my Prabhu. You better believe it. I had to obey my mother. My mother was my Prabhu also. So actually, Mataji is just another way of saying Prabhu. So my dear Vaishnavas, there's great hope for us. There's great, great hope for us. All we have to do is put ourselves in the right atmosphere where pure devotional service is glorified. That's why Prabhupada established these temples. An atmosphere where pure devotional service is the theme of the place, you see. There's no business here except for pure devotional service. So as soon as you come in here, an atmosphere of pure devotional service, then you're going, wow, this is an amazing feeling when I come here. Just pulling up in front of this building, and I got, wow, here I am again, this wonderful place, you see, this Tirtha. It's like you go to India, there's Mayapur, Vrindavan. These are Tirthas. This place is a Tirtha, holy Tirtha. Just by seeing the building from the street, I can immediately feel this rush of transcendental bliss starting to get stirred up within me, you see. Just by seeing the building here, you see. When you come in, oh, wonderful kirtan going on. Wow, an amazing thing, you see. the arati, so many devotees, you see. So really all you have to do is put yourself in the right atmosphere. Intelligently put yourself in the right atmosphere. And then your natural tendency to love Krishna becomes revived. As Prabhupada says, it's not an artificial imposition on the mind. It's a revival of the original natural energy of a living entity. There's some bullet points here in the ad. I have to live up to the advertisement now. See what was advertised here. Okay. This pure devotional service for everyone. Does that sound like a lofty, unrealistic thing to you? Well, why would that question be asked? We live right now in a world which is increasingly atheistic, increasingly hedonistic, hedonistic. You see? The whole idea of spiritual awakening is not accepted. What you see in the media is, you know, Darwinism and all these concocted philosophies trying to describe how we are here. We're so much bombarded with this stuff, we become doubtful about transcendental existence. We're told there is no such thing as transcendental existence. As Dr. Stephen Hawking says, it all comes out of nothing. There's no transcendence. It all comes out of nothing. Is it? So that doubtful tendency is there. Prabhupada told us in Los Angeles, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and you were thinking, maybe. So even as devotees, we have to deal with this skepticism, you see. Arjuna understood he had a problem with skepticism. That's why he addressed Krishna, Madhusudana. Just as you have killed the Madhu demon, now, my dear Lord, please kill these demons of doubt within my heart. That's why he addressed him as Madhusudana. You are a demon killer. Well, I got a lot of them right here. Please kill them. You see? So, we have this tendency to think, just for example, Prabhupada explains that when you become fully pleasing to Krishna, Krishna will reveal himself. You'll actually see Krishna standing there. He will talk with you. He will bless you. And Prabhupada wrote me in a letter. He said, if you will simply engage in service of Krishna with full sincerity of attitude 24 hours a day, Krishna will personally come and answer all of your questions. I used to write Prabhupada a lot of questions. He was giving me a tip. So I can get Krishna to answer them. I can have Krishna answer my questions. You may think, well, is he just trying to tell me that so I won't write him so many letters? Or no, Prabhupada wouldn't fib like that. You see, Prabhupada simply speaks the truth. So. It may sound unrealistic. I mean, Krishna would actually reveal himself to me. I could actually see God face to face, eye to eye. Just as we read, he revealed himself to great sages in the forest. He revealed himself to me. Yes, it's possible. Even sometimes to materialists, Krishna reveals. There's two stories that come to mind. That there was that woman carrying the firewood in the forest. And she was getting so heavy it fell off. She went, Krishna, Krishna. He appeared and said, yes? What can I do for you? Can you put the wood back on my shoulder? She could have gotten something much better than that. You see, please give me prema, pure love of God. You see. And there's another story too, that there was one thief. And he was looking for a good place to rob, get some... robbery done to his daily robbery to maintain himself. He saw there was a Bhagavatam class going on. Ah, this looks like a good place. He went in the class to see if he could pick a pocket or grab a purse or whatever, you know, in the middle of the class. Everyone look, watch your purses, man. And But he was amazed. He went in and he heard the Bhagavatam reciter was saying that there's this boy named Krishna, and he's loaded with valuable jewels, and he wanders all alone in the forest called Vrindavan. He went, "Oh, wow, what an opportunity for me." And if there's a boy named Krishna who wanders in the forest of Vrindavan, where is this Vrindavan? Oh, as they said, it's in North India, on the Jamuna River. Oh, I'm going to go. So he was walking across India, going to Vrindavan to find this boy that he could rob him of all the jewels. Papa tells the story very nicely. And he finally gets there. He's wandering here, you know, Kamyavan, Mahavan, all the different forests. Where is that boy? Where is that boy? I'll become a millionaire overnight. You see, where is that boy? And Krishna was so kind to this rascal. He revealed himself, if you can imagine. He actually revealed himself. He was so intensely wanting to find Krishna, even though his motive was material, Krishna revealed himself. And sure enough, he said, "Krishna, you have so many nice jewels. Can you give me some?" And Krishna, in the mood of the chastised son, Yashoda Mata, said, No. Mother Yashoda, she will scold me." But he said, "No, Krishna." Krishna was very kind. He was begging, "No, Krishna, can you please give me?" But actually, the man became purified by that darshan of Krishna. And then Krishna says, "Now you can take whatever you like." He became a pure devotee by that darshan, you see. Even though he approached with material motives, he became a pure devotee by that darshan. So if even a materialist who simply wants to steal the jewels of Krishna can attain prema bhakti, what about an ordinary, what about souls like us who really want to become Krishna conscious, who really want to give up material desires, you see? If Krishna was so kind to that thief, I guarantee you, he'll be very kind to you. You simply have to intensely desire to achieve pure devotional service. Our problem is we don't focus on that. We think about this and that and this and that and so many things. We forget the essence of what is this process. That's the problem. We forget the essence of this process. We get caught up in this and that. It's like there's this kind of politics, this controversy, that country. Everybody gets all absorbed in different things, you see. But you're cheating yourself if you do them. You're cheating yourself out of realizing Krishna. Just get back to the essence. That I'm here to develop pure love for Krishna. Krishna is real. Krishna is a person. Krishna knows me. He's been traveling with me in the form of the Paramatma for millions of lifetimes, waiting for that auspicious moment when I decide to reconnect with him. And when you do that, when you make that decision, now I want to become very serious and become a pure devotee of Krishna. When you make that determination, Krishna will give you all facility. Full facility will be there for you. You don't need, there's no external things required. Ahaitakiya pratiyata yagyatma supersedati. There's no other requirement. Simply you have to have that desire for unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service. And then Krishna will facilitate you. It doesn't matter whether you're a man, a woman, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're whatever country you may be in, what your eye doesn't matter if you're a brahmachari in the temple or you're a householder struggling to pay your bills, it doesn't matter what your position is. You simply have to have that intense desire in your heart. I want to be Krishna's pure devotee, you see. Just focus on that. I want to be a pure devotee of Krishna. That's my only real purpose for existing. To be a pure devotee of Krishna. If you'll focus in this way, I guarantee you this, magic will happen. Every day, amazing things will happen to you to help you realize the fulfillment of that desire. You just have to focus, laser focus your whole life on this purpose. I must become the pure devotee. Let's see what the next bullet point is here now. Do you have obligations such as work and family? We all have obligations in the material world. So, what to do with them? And the key is you dovetail all of it into Krishna consciousness. We don't say to give up your family. We say engage your family in Krishna consciousness. A nice example in this connection. Prabhupada mentions this example. The Bank of America. So, one man, he walks into the Bank of America and he says, I renounce this bank. He's crazy. Is it his bank to renounce? No, not his bank. Another man comes with a gun to rob the bank, you see. He's a thief. They're both bad, not the proper mentality. So, someone says, I want to renounce this world. You're nuts because you don't own it to begin with. How you can renounce what is not yours to begin with, you see. So the key is to engage in Krishna service. In my younger days, in my spiritual seeking, that was my first idea to renounce the world, you see. I wouldn't just go to India and be a beggar in India. I decided that would be my career path. Just go to India, hitchhike to New York, get a job on a freighter, you know, and just stay in India and be a holy beggar in India. I decided that would be my career. Everybody has a career, right? That would be going to be my career path. I'd get the best perks by doing that. But then I realized, I came to a realization one night, because I was into this 1980 philosophy, you know, denying this attachment, denying that attachment, 1980, not this, not that. One night, I was at my parents' house getting ready. I shipped all my belongings back and I was going to head out from there and just leave it all behind. And I had a realization. I denied and I denied. I wrote it down. This is really profound. I wrote it down. I denied and I denied until I could deny no longer. And then I had to start accepting. So then I realized, instead of renouncing the world, I need to stick around and try to save the world. I need to be part of a spiritual revolution. And something told me you should go to, I felt that I was being called to San Francisco. So instead of hitching to New York, sticking out my thumb this way, I stuck out my thumb this way. And went to San Francisco. Instead of New York was this way and San Francisco was that way. So I just hitched the opposite direction. And the first people I met were the devotees. The Harinam party. Took me a while because it took me about a couple of years to finally come to the point of joining, but I had that realization. That just renouncing isn't really the thing. You have to plug into some positive program, you see. So take your family obligations and Krishnaize them, you see. You got to feed your family? Well, feed them prasadam, you see. You got to do something for recreation? Well, come to the Hare Krishna temple on Sunday for a wonderful transcendental entertainment, singing and dancing, feasting, you see. And this way, Krishnaize your family obligations. You have to educate your kids, or make them Krishna conscious. One of our Matajis, Arudha Mataji, she was very dedicated to giving her son Ravi the very best education. Why send him to public school? Educate him at home. Now she has that book, the homeschooling book. Very nice book. You can order that book from Krishna.com. How she homeschooled her son Ravi, and at the age 13 he went to the university. He excelled. Now he's a big professor at the university, Sanskrit professor. He never went to elementary school, junior high, high school. He just went straight from home to college and excelled in the university. At the age 13, he entered the university. How many 13-year-olds go to the university? He was homeschooled by his Mataji, and at age 13, he's in the university. You see. So this is how to, what to do with family obligations. You see. You do something phenomenal. Don't be an average, run-of-the-mill Canadian family. Do something extraordinary, like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, his father. Do something extraordinary, like Bhaktivinod Thakur. Make your family life. Bhaktivinod said, one day while engaged in household duties, I saw my house transform into Goloka Vrindavan. Why don't you have that kind of a household life, you see? It's so much pure and so much devoted that Krishna can actually manifest right there in your home while you're washing the dishes. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to be an ordinary, run-of-the-mill, you know, Canadian person just getting sick and old and dying. You live a life of a liberated siddha, you see, by taking this process very seriously. Chant the japa, follow the principles, take initiation from one of our spiritual masters. Dedicate yourself completely to be a first-class disciple of your Guru Maharaj and a servant of Prabhupada's mission. Just really do this with great intensity and devotion, and you'll be absolutely amazed at the results you'll experience if you do that. Let's see the next bullet point. Do you have responsibilities? Well, I already covered them. Yes, you do have responsibilities. But here, what you're actually responsible for is to awaken pure love of God within your heart. And the Bhagavatam says, if you're a father, you're responsible to deliver your children back to Godhead. If you're a mother, you're responsible to deliver your children back to Godhead. If you're a guru, of course, you're responsible to deliver your disciples. You're any kind of leader. Prabhupada said, even if you're a friend, you have to deliver your friends back to Godhead. So your duty is to see that those people who depend on you, even your friends, your duty is to see that they get liberated from the cycle of birth and death. That is your responsibility. Those persons with whom you have relationships, it is your duty to see that they become liberated from the cycle of birth and death. So I guarantee you, if you take these, you say, well, how can I handle that? I mean, I got my corporate job, I got to drop my kids off at school. How can I even think about this? It's too much. What are you trying to do? Overwhelm me, Prabhu? But believe me, this will simplify your whole life. It may seem overload. But I guarantee you, if you will actually take within your heart your responsibility to deliver yourself and your dependence from birth and death, you embrace that responsibility, everything will fall into an amazing sequence of events throughout your whole life. It'll all come together. It's kind of like, in one sense, like a jigsaw puzzle. In the beginning, it's just, you don't know where to start. It's so bewildering. But once you start to get a little pattern there, it becomes very easy to finish it, you see. So you have to see what is the underlying pattern of your actual existence as a spiritual being. You have to tune into that. And then everything becomes very easy once you do that, you see. One of your devotees here, I forget her name now, she's initiated. She used to be a Rosh, was She wrote a wonderful BTG article years ago. I still remember this article. A wonderful article. She was in grad, something like even in, she was getting an MBA at the time. And she had this huge academic load. And she came home with all the papers to write, tests to study for, and heard there were beads sitting there. She hadn't started her rounds yet. What to do? She's bewildered, what to do? And she said, well, I think I better put Krishna first, you see. So I'm going to chant my rounds. And she chanted her rounds and everything made sense. Oh yeah, I'm going to study. I'm going to do well in this course for the sake of Krishna's service. Everything now became, as soon as she put her chanting first, now everything has meaning because this is for Krishna and that is for Krishna. It's just like Krishna says, yat kadoshi yadasnasi yajdahosi dadasi yat tapashashikonte yat tat kadushman vedarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer and give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, like your job or your studies, right? Do them as an offering to me, he says. You see? So as soon as she did that, boom, everything, it all fit together like a hand in the glove, you know. So you may have an intense life. We all, in the modern world, it's all pretty intense for all of us, you see. But just put Krishna in the center and wow, it's just, the whole thing just becomes like magic. Or a beautiful symphony orchestra. Everything comes in, it's all balanced and beautiful and wonderful. When you take pure devotional service seriously, then even the difficult times become beautiful. Kunti Devi actually found that the difficult times were the sweetest, most wonderful times because it forced her to intensify her Krishna consciousness. You see? Vipada tati shantrasvat tatra tatra jagad guru bhavanam darshanam yatsyad apunar bhava darshanam. My dear Krishna, may those difficult times, those calamities come again and again and again, because whenever they come, I can do nothing but see you and take shelter of you. And when I see you, I don't see birth and death anymore. You see? So if you have this intense desire to follow in the footsteps of great pure devotees like Kunti Devi, then nothing is inauspicious anymore. There's no such thing as inauspicious for one who has seriously embraced the path of pure bhakti. Are you struggling to maintain a regular practice of hearing, chanting, reading, and serving? Early morning rising is really an easy way. The earlier you get up, the easier it is to chant. Because the modes of nature act in according to the hours of the day. See, at a certain time, around sunrise, the whole mode of Rajagun kicks in. Everybody's running here, running there, running, you see. It's the doing mode. Rajagun is the doing mode. Do this, do. Tamagun is the sleeping mode, and Savagun is a meditative mode, you see. And they act at different times of the day. So the key is, as Prabhupada quoted when he introduced Mangal Arati to us, he said, early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Quoting Benjamin Franklin, the American philosopher. Prabhupada was very good at pulling in quotes even from famous materialists if they were suitable for Krishna consciousness. He also quoted the poet Cowper, who said, the city is made by man and the country is made by God. So anyway, that early to bed, early to rise, that it really works. Go to bed as early as you can and get up as early as you can. That early morning hour is very, very auspicious. It's kind of like when you go to Vrindavan, you know, it's 1,000 times more potent when you chant Hare Krishna. In Brahma Muhurta is like being in Vrindavan. It's 1,000 times more potent during Brahma Muhurta. An hour and a half before sunrise is when it starts. But even before that, it's good. The early morning hours before you, that's when Prabhupada would get up and do his translation work. He would get up at midnight and do his writing when there was no disturbance from anyone. So take advantage of the early morning time. And you could get up and do some chanting and take a little rest also after you finish your sadhana, depending on your schedule. So, and then the reading, it's interesting. In my last seminar, I asked Prabhupada about reading. Because I complained to Prabhupada that my authorities aren't giving me enough time to read. We're very busy doing this and that. And Prabhupada didn't accept my argument. He said, there's much time in the day for studying. He wouldn't accept me. He wouldn't buy my argument at all. So don't tell me you don't have time to study these books. Prabhupada wouldn't. I tried to tell Prabhupada it and he wouldn't accept it. So I'm not going to accept it from you now. You can't tell me you don't have time to read. Even 5 minutes. You see. I do have. I remember one time I was the head cook in our Houston temple back in 76, yeah. And it was pretty intense because the whole temple went on in book distribution. I had to run the whole temple by myself the whole day. That means I had to take care of the guests. I have to offer all the artis. I have to answer the telephone. I have to, you know, I'll do all the transferring, all the washing, everything, the deity service and the guests. I had to do the whole thing all by myself every day. It was only on Sunday there was devotees of the temple. 5-6 days a week I had to run the whole temple. My temple president went somewhere else. He lived there far away with his wife in an apartment. So I was there. I had to run the whole temple myself. It's a major temple in Houston, Texas. One brahmachari during it was very intense. And I only got to... I found a time to read once a week when I cooked the burfi. Stirring the burfi with my right hand and reading. Once a week I got to open a book. But I found a way to study because we had there was a very nice sound system in the kitchen. The tape deck was in the pajari room and they had speakers in the kitchen. And I found that I could listen to Papa's lectures. There was nobody around, it was just me all by myself, you see. I could listen to lectures with such intensity because of the intensity of that service. It put me in a mood where I could really, really hear. I mean, it was wonderful. Devotional service is good. It puts you in a mood where you can hear. If you're doing service intensely and you try to hear, now you can hear with great intensity also, you see. So I was hearing, in fact, there was one tape, I must have heard it hundreds of times, the Hyderabad temple opening address. I heard it again and again and again. And I still remember things that Prabhupada said very intensely. And this is, you know, that was decades ago, but I can still hear Prabhupada saying it. This is decades ago. Prabhupada said, he was talking to the Hindu gentleman there. He said, if you're living in a small neighborhood, you should become the guru of that neighborhood and deliver them. Jaride katharikaha Krishna upadhyay. So he was encouraging all these men, now you must follow Lord Chaitanya's order, become guru, you see, deliver the people. We're all ordered to become gurus, you see. That is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then another thing I heard on the tape, Prabhupada said, yes, you must study 24 hours a day. And you must engage in service 24 hours a day. Now wait, how do you do that? I was thinking, how can you possibly do service 24 hours a day and study 24 hours a day? Prabhupada gave both orders. How are you supposed to do that? Prabhupada tell us to give us something that's impossible to do? No. But then how do you, I had to figure out, how do you do that? How do you study 24 hours a day and how do you do service 24 hours a day? And then I realized it, the answer. You ever take chemistry anybody take chemistry before? Who's taken chemistry course? Yeah. There's the lecture section and the lab section, right? And they're both important. So you sit there in the lecture and the professor says, my dear students, H2O equals water. This is when I was in high school. And now we go to the lab and now you do it in the test tube, right? So it's all part of your studies. Whether you're in the lecture or you're in the lab, it's still part of your chemistry studies, right? So when you're in the class, that's the lecture. And when you're doing service, you're in the lab. You see what I'm saying? So, but instead of putting H2O in the test tube, you're dealing with a different test tube, and that is called your consciousness. Instead of putting H2O into the test tube, you are putting devotional service into your consciousness and seeing what is the result of doing this. I remember that day when I was a high school kid when I put hydrogen 2 parts and oxygen 1 part in the test tube, and I went, wow, this is really something. I got water in the test tube. I was really impressed. So in the same way that I got water in the test tube, if you actually go to the laboratory, that's when you're doing service. You're cleaning the temple, scrubbing the toilet, whatever you're doing, going out and book distribution, cooking prasadam, decorating the deities, it's all devotional service. Managing the temple, managing the accounting work for the temple, going out and working a job to support your family in a Krishna conscious way and give money to the temple and the preachers. Whatever you're doing, you have to do it in a way to please Krishna, yat karoshi yat asnasi, and then the magic will happen. You'll have an awakening of Krishna consciousness within your heart, wherever you are. Carry this enthusiasm wherever you go to be Krishna conscious and spread it. And the most amazing life you will have, guaranteed. Now there might be some questions, so we have papers floating around for people to write questions down. What's the deal tonight? Papers are just raising the hand. What's the deal? Are they passed around already? Okay. There are some papers passed around, and we have another devotee here who is very good at answering questions, in some ways better than me. That's Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. So she and I are going to share the... she needs a microphone. I need a microphone for her. Is that mic working? I need 2 mics. Good. Give the other mic to Manaji here. I don't follow. I do not follow.
Somebody on the internet is saying that they can't hear.
One person cannot hear. Okay. We have many people tuned in from the internet. I'd like to ask our people on the internet, one of the internet people cannot hear on start meeting. If anybody else, can any of you on the start meeting internet program, can any of you hear the class? Let us know if any of you can hear it. Please make a note in the, please state so in the chat window if you can hear. One person cannot. I want to see if it's his problem or it's a problem of everyone. So, I'll go ahead and do the first question. Please suggest a few ways to chant 16 rounds a day. Well, the ideal thing is to chant all of them in one go. That's ideal. Now, if that's not practical, you can break them up. I've been informed that Srila Prabhupada, when he was a house soda, he would chant 4 rounds before breakfast, 4 rounds before lunch, 4 rounds before dinner, and 4 rounds before taking rest. So you have to see what works for you according to your schedule. But what I found is very helpful is you always put Krishna first. Like my standard is, I don't like to take prasadam until my rounds are done. Because once I take prasadam, and some of my energy goes to my stomach, away from my brain. So I like to have all my energy. I don't like to have energy going to my stomach when I'm trying to chant my japa. So you really have to see what works for you. But the real thing is just to be dedicated doing it. If you have that dedication and try to do it as early as possible. We were told years ago that Prabhupada said if you finish all your rounds before 10 a.m. you'll have a day free from anxiety. But I personally like to get up early and chant them before Mangal Arati. I actually learned this from I was in Atlanta with our head cook there. He was so intensely serving all day long. He would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and chant his round before Mangal Arati. That was his standard. And then he would take a nap during breakfast time to make up for it. So I suggest you just be creative and, you know, understand chanting my 16 rounds is the most important thing I do every day. So I should need to prioritize it with that kind of intensity of consciousness. And then see what works best for you. So you do the next one then. You go next. Do you have a mic? Okay.
How can I develop more faith in Krishna? By the association of pure devotees and acting in Krishna consciousness, you will develop your faith in Krishna.
Okay, the next question is, what hope do the atheists and faithless have to return back to Godhead if we can't preach to them if they don't want to accept the preaching? Prabhupada said the Harinam party. He said, by this Harinam party, we force them to become pious. So this Harinam is very good. Whenever you have a chance to go on Harinam, go on with great enthusiasm. It's like we were there in the airport in Mendoza, Argentina, and there's some, the devotees are very fired up in kirtan. I saw Deva Devadas, my disciple, was so fired up in the kirtan. He was playing the drum and he was like, bah. He was really fired up. I jumped in there and got into it. We were really at the top of our lungs in the air in the airport, and everybody, the whole airport was tuned into that kirtan. And of course, eventually the airline authorities were tuned in also and came to tune it down. But for like 10 or 15 minutes, that whole airport was just nothing but the Harinam. I mean, we had a new airline that appeared that day. It's called Hare Krishna Airlines. Showed up, and everybody in that whole airport was taken on a ride on Hare Krishna Airlines. So the Harinam party is one way. Prabhupada said, but they're forced to become pious. So go on that Harinam, play that drum, play those cymbals, go into ecstasy, bliss out, do your ultimate bliss outs there, you know. Sing and dance and just go into complete ecstasy. You know, go into absolute ecstasy. As they used to say, jump out of your skin, you know. Get off the bodily plane, you know. Just go into complete ecstasy on Harinam. And it'll work. These people, it'll break through that hard shell. And they'll go, wow, it's amazing. Okay, your turn, G.
I have heard that spiritual life is very long. Why is the spiritual life so long, so hard? At times, this thought of long path of discovery resulting in unsteady devotion. Actually, spiritual path is not long. It is within you. But you are searching something, happiness, around in the garbage. That's why it is long. Otherwise, living entity is full of spiritual bliss, full of knowledge, and full of eternity. But since you are looking the happiness in the garbage heaps, like the crows, that's why this long path, it becomes long path. Otherwise it's very easy. It's not that long. One can become spiritual, you realize, in one moment. So try to look within yourself that you are a living entity, part and parcel of Krishna, and as soon as you realize this, then you are there. Not a long path. We are so much covered up by the sense gratification, so it becomes very long. Life after life, we are achieving the tune, so then it's a very long path.
How long is the material path compared to that?
Material path is nothing. As soon as we give it up, we have been chewing the under the conditioned life. Sense gratification, life after life after life, it becomes very long. But the spiritual life is not that long. It's a moment's realization. we can give it up, all the sense gratification, it's there. But the difficult part is that we can give up the sense gratification. So much conditioning.
So now I have a question here. How does the most effective way to develop and maintain intense greed for devotional service? Rupa Goswami has actually written a verse, wonderful verse about this. Wonderful verse. Just looking up that verse is very nice. I figured that would bring us some more authoritative answer here from Srila Rupa Goswami. I can find that verse quickly here. Pure devotional service and Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by executing pious activities in hundreds of millions of lives. It can be achieved only by paying one price, and that is intense greed to obtain it. Therefore, if it is available somewhere, you must purchase it immediately. So, this you have to see. Where is pure devotional service available? And what is the price that you purchase it with? Lalyam, greed. You have to be very greedy for bhakti. So the person who's written this question understands the importance of this greed. So how do you maintain that greed, that mood of greed? You have to understand there's absolutely nothing else that can really satisfy the self, only pure devotional service. And you have to understand how valuable it actually is. It's more valuable than anything. And all the wealth of the material world multiplied billions of times doesn't equal an intestinal fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the greatness, the opulence of bhakti. Bhakti purchases Krishna. Krishna becomes the servant of that person who has devotion, pure love for him. Krishna is called Ajita, or one who cannot be conquered, but he becomes Jita, or conquered, by that person who has Lal Yam, intense greed for him. So this my body idea of becoming God does not attract us. Prabhupada said, why become one with God? Become greater than God. One who has intense greed, he becomes transcendentally greater than God. Because God becomes subservient to him. Like Prabhupada gives the example of Arjuna. Krishna is driving his chariot. Our mother Yashoda, you see. He's running in the fear of Yashoda Mata's whipping stick. So by this intense greed, Krishna becomes yours. Next question.
I repeatedly resolve to remember His various mercies on me, but tend to revert to forgetting them against fresh problems in life. What should I do?
Microphone.
Your resolution for remembering His mercy is very weak. That is the reason. So you will be forgetting effort. You should see that even the present problems of your life is also the mercy of the Lord to bring you back to remembering Him. So the devotee who is constantly remembering Krishna will see the problems of the life also as His mercy. So if you see the problems of your mercy, then there won't be any problems. Whatever Krishna does for it is a past tense, but whatever Krishna does is good. You must have all heard that story about that, how there was a minister who told the king that whatever Krishna does is good. So that is all Krishna's mercy.
Yeah, there's a nice story. I heard it years ago in Mayapur. I never forgot. Back in 1989 or something. It's an amazing story. So this king had a minister. He was very Krishna conscious. He said, "Your Majesty, whatever Krishna does is all right." He always said like that. He's very Krishna conscious. So one day the king had a little accident. He cut off his finger. He said, "Your Majesty, don't worry. Whatever Krishna does is all right." He said, "What do you mean? I lost my finger. You say it's all right? In the dungeon with you, you rascal." Is he? So, the Kshatriyas, to keep their fighting skills, their prowess, they would go to the forest. The wild animals would harass the sages who were meditating. So they go there to protect the sages by killing the wild animals. You see. Tigers, lions. You see. So the king, he would take the minister would go with him. And so he went alone because the minister was in the dungeon. And when he was captured by some dacoits, the king was captured by some dacoits. They said, "We want to make human sacrifice." So they gave him a bath, they gave him nice silk. They're going to offer him to Durga. Make some nice silk, give him a bath. Not, "Oh my goodness, he's missing a finger. We can't offer him to Durga. She'll be furious." And they said, "You can go." And he's going, "Wow, I lost my finger, but it saved my life. That minister was right. Whatever Krishna does is all right." So then he went hurrying back to the palace, went down to the dungeon, and the minister's there, chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, in bliss, taking shelter of Krishna in all circumstances, wherever he may be. So the king opens the door and he says, "I'm so sorry, you actually were right, because I lost my finger, it would save my life. Why aren't you angry with me? You seem to be not at all disturbed that I sent you to the dungeon. Why aren't you angry with me?" He said, "Your Majesty, I always accompany you on those hunting trips. And this time I didn't go with you. Whatever Krishna does is all right." Because he would have been sacrificed if he had been on the hunting trip. So in this way, you see, whatever Krishna does is all right. We have to understand that ultimately not a blade of grass moves without the will of Krishna. And everything, he's the ultimate orchestrator behind everything that's happening. We have to have faith in this principle and just try to see how Krishna is acting in every moment of our lives and learn how to connect with him in love. And then nothing will ever disturb us ever again. We'll be living as good as in the spiritual world, right here in Toronto. You understand? As good as the spiritual world. So you want me to do the next one? Okay. Does devotional service to Krishna rid oneself of past karmas? Absolutely. Krishna says, "Sarva dharma pujat jaja, mam ekam shodaram raja, aham tvam sarva pape bhyo mokshyashami ma shuchaha. Sarva pape bho mokshyashami. All of your sin, from all of your sin, you are delivered. So, don't hesitate. Why do you want to continue to suffer the reactions from your past sinful and even pious activities? Those rewards also aren't that great. Let's say you opened a charity hospital and thousands of poor people got medical care because of your piety. Well, what is the reward you get? Free medical care from all those people. 10,000 people got free medical care from you. Now you get to have free medical care from 10,000 people. 10,000 times you get sick and you get free medical care. You see? So even pious activities, we're not interested in those rewards either. We just want pure devotional service. Pure devotional service. And that's what Krishna will give you when you surrender to him. "Now, my dear Lord, I've been trying to enjoy independently from you. Now I understand my only enjoyment is to take you as the supreme enjoyer and give my every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances for your pleasure. Just like I'm speaking to you right now, I'm thinking, well, how can I give this lecture in such a way that Krishna will be very, very, very pleased with me? You see? And I can understand with my intelligence, the more I can attract you to the idea of total unalloyed surrender to Krishna, that will become more and more pleasing to him. So I'm trying to convince all of you to whatever level you're on now, come to pure devotional service as your only goal in life. I know if I can inspire even one of you to do that, Krishna will shower unlimited mercy on me. And if I, or two or three, I'll give you more unlimited mercy. So the point is, whether you're leading a kirtan, whether you're hearing a class, whether you're giving a class, whatever you're doing, try to do it in such a way that Krishna will be going, wow, just see how that devotee's doing this. This is wonderful. Try to, if you deal with him, he's a person, he's not as a concept. Try to understand, Krishna is not just a concept, he is a real person, he's as real as you. And he's conscious of everything you're thinking and doing at every minute. Start to acknowledge that and start to live in that consciousness. It's a wonderful state of consciousness. It's called Krishna consciousness. It's not an entry slogan. It's an enlightened state of consciousness beyond what even many of the great sages and saints didn't realize. It's the exclusive domain of the Shuddha Bhaktas, the pure devotees, and you are now going to become a pure devotee, right? Jai. Next question.
What is the priority of sadhana, service, and other responsibilities that life has to offer, along with taking care of one's health? Everything in Krishna consciousness is priority. Human life is very short. Everything that you do in Krishna consciousness is a priority. You just have to put it together. So whatever you're going to prioritize, that's what you will get. The body is destined to grow and die one day. If you want to take care, you should take care of health. But it's not the topmost priority. The priority is developing Krishna consciousness that just so that you can remember Krishna at the time.
The next question. Why are there only statues of Radha and Krishna and very few of Chaitanya? We don't have any statues of Radha and Krishna. We have Radha and Krishna themselves. They're not statues. Now, don't you know the story of Sakshi Gopal? I'll tell that one. So, there was one village and there were two Brahmins who wanted to go up to Vrindavan after the darshan of the Lord in Vrindavan. So, one of them was very wealthy, the other one was very poor. The wealthy one was a very elderly gentleman who had a hard time moving about, an elderly body, and the young one was very, the young one was very strong and stout and healthy. So he helped the old man to get to Vrindavan. There was no buses, there was no jet airlines, there was no taxis, you know, maybe an ox cart. It was tough getting to Vrindavan in those days. So the young Brahmin helped the older Brahmin, and they got to Vrindavan, and they're seeing the deity of Gopal, and the elder Brahmin is saying, you know, I'm so indebted to you, young man, you've helped me all the way here, so I would like to offer you my daughter in marriage. I feel so indebted to you for helping me like this. The young Brahmin said, no, wait a minute. In our village, there's this caste consciousness of the wealthy Brahmins and the poor Brahmins. This will never fly in our village. This will create great turmoil in the village. Please don't say this. He said, no, in front of the deities is my witness. And if you say something in front of the deities, no one would lie in front of the deity. So he said, no, I'm saying in front of the deity, I'm giving you my daughter in marriage. So be it. So let's see, what happened to Oh no, what happened at that point? Why did the deity follow him?
They went back to the village and
That's right. They went all the way back to the village, and as soon as it was announced, sure enough, the younger brother, who was an atheist, he said, "This rascal, he gave my father some drugs, and now they drugged him, and he made this whole big story." Because he couldn't tolerate the idea of his sister marrying this impoverished Brahmin. So the young Brahmin said, he knew that Krishna is fully cognizant. He said, "If I bring Krishna as a witness that this promise was made, will you accept it?" And the elder brother said, "Yeah," he was an atheist, "he's a big, huge deity, you know that it was impossible." He said, "Yeah, sure, I'll accept it. If the deity comes, I'll accept it." "Yeah, it'll never happen." So the young Brahmin goes all the way back to Vrindavan. He says, "My dear Lord," he explained exactly what happened. He said, "You please come with me back to Vrindavan and bear witness this promise was made in your presence." And the deity said, "But I'm a stone statue. I can't move." And the Brahmin, he's very clever, he said, "But my dear Lord, if you can talk with me, you can walk with me." Prabhupada said, "This way he defeated Krishna by logic." So the deity made a deal. "All right, but you don't turn around. You will know I'm following you by the sound of my ankles, but don't you turn around, because if you do, I won't go any further." So the Brahmin, okay. So the Brahmin walks out, he can hear ching, ching, ching. Every night, if he lay down to take rest, he definitely wouldn't turn his head the other way. He had to keep his head. He couldn't dare turn his head the other way. He had to have faith that Krishna was with him. And every day he'd get up, he'd begin walking again, and again he'd hear ching, ching, ching. Yes, he's there. So the Deva Gopal is there. Yes, ching, ching, ching. Finally he got just to the edge of the village. There was no ching, ching, ching. He went, "Oh no, oh no, oh no." And he looked, and there was a deity standing there. Huge, huge deity. But now the deity would not come any further. He knew. He looked. He wasn't supposed to do that. So he ran in the village. "Gopal has come. Gopal has come." And the whole village came running out. So the younger brother had to keep his word now. Let the sister be married. And he said, and that deity then became worshipped as Shakshi Gopal, the deity who came as a witness. And later on he was moved just near to Jagannath Puri. That deity is still worshipped, the Shakshi Gopal deity. "I went for the darshan, but they didn't like the color of my skin. They wouldn't let me in. My wife got in, but they wouldn't let me in." So they don't have the right mood, the current day Brahmins. They have some bodily consciousness. "I gave a nice donation. They were very happy to take my donation. They wouldn't let me in a donation. Very happy." And then they wanted more. They said, "Now you've given to the deity, but now you have to give to the Brahmins." And they surrounded me like a pack of, a swirl of angry bees. Yelling, holding out their hands and yelling and screaming at me for money, money. And we went to the cab, we were running the cab. They followed me all the way to the cab. They're sticking their hands, they went away yelling and screaming at me and demanding money. They wouldn't let me have the darshan. Little footnote. So if you go, if you're white skin, maybe do something to cover your skin if you want to have darshan. Put some shoe polish on or something. You want a darshan of Shakshi Gopal. But all the Indian bodies, you can go for darshan.
Huh? Similar pastimes, but Chaitanya and Nityananda recorded that Pandit.
Tell that one. I don't know. I don't remember which one.
Gauridas Pandit, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda stayed there for prasadam there, and then they
were. Oh, yeah, Gauridas. That's another nice deity story. Yeah, I love that one. Gauridas Pandit. So just imagine you have Gaurinatai deities in your house, right? So he's invited Gaurinatai themselves for lunch. And now he has, just imagine, Lord Chaitanya, Lord, actually sitting in your home, you're serving them, you're feeding them. What an amazing experience. And now they're getting ready to leave. He says, "My dear Lord, I cannot bear your separation. You please stay here. Do not leave my home. I cannot bear your separation." He said, "But don't you see we're here?
They pointed at the altar. He said, "My Lord, those are deities. I want you personally here." They said, "Okay." Lord Ananda and Lord Chaitanya, they went and walked up on the altar and got on the deities came to life, and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Ananda, they went and they got on the altar and they froze. And the deities start walking out of the house. And then Gauridas Pand is becoming very Buddha. He said, "But my dear Lord, I cannot bear your separation. Please stay, please stay. Please, don't you see? We're on the altar. But Lord, those are deities. I want you here personally." He said, "Okay." They went back to the altar, and the original Lord Chaitanya, they came to life and they walked out. So it went back and forth and back and forth. And Gauridas Pand was completely like, he couldn't figure who were the original ones who had sat at the lunch table. So, in this way, you have to understand, these are not statues. That's an opera. You never think they're statues. Krishna himself has come. And he is standing here blessing us by his darshan. You must have faith in this. Otherwise, you're a pashandi. You're an atheist.
To whom should a person pray? It is very confusing. But let's reword his question here so we can answer. Why are there only deities of Radha and Krishna and very few deities of Lord Chaitanya? Actually, here we have Gaurinathai and Radha Krishna. I don't know why he says there's only... I don't know why he's saying this. Maybe different ISKCON temples, but... Actually, it doesn't matter because Radha and Lord Chaitanya is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. So whether you pray to Radha Krishna or you pray to Lord Chaitanya, it's the same thing. But you have to learn how to pray properly. You don't pray, "Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, you see, replete with Michelin tires, give my wife a new silk sari, give my kids a Harvard education, give me a house by the sea, Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari." You don't pray like that, you see. You pray for bhakti, pure bhakti. "My dear Lord, please bless me with pure love for you." That is what you want to pray for. Okay?
How to find the happiness within ourselves? Just take up Krishna consciousness very seriously. Lord has come to you. Just hold mercy upon you. So take up Krishna bhakti seriously.
What is the exact definition of pure devotional service? Without any material, ahaitakiya patiyata yayatma supasidati, defined by the Bhagavatam. Pure devotional service is uninterrupted, it goes on 24/7, and there's no material motivations. Ahaitaki, without any material motivations. Your turn.
What does associating with the devotees mean? Can you please provide examples of good association with devotees and not so good association with devotees? Devotee association is always good. Non-devotee association is not good. Example is that all the devotees who are practicing Krishna Bhakti is a good association. If they are not taking Krishna Bhakti, it's not a good association. The Rupa Goswami said, asasanga tyaga. So you will give up the association of non-devotees.
How can we revive enthusiasm in devotional service? Why is it not the same and grow higher all the time? For me, I've told this story many times, but Prabhupada ordered me to all these things. I showed some, when I got initiated, Prabhupada initiated me by a letter. I was a mail order disciple. He initiated me by a letter from London to Austin, Texas. I got a letter from London, dated August 12, 1971, accepting me as his disciple. So the Vishnujan Swami did the yajna. And I had to mail my dakshin to Prabhupada, so I got to send a letter to Prabhupada.
But my dakshin is a great opportunity to write to Prabhupada directly a letter. And he wrote me back. He gave me the exact amount of the three checks I had written, just like an accountant, to verify the checks had been received, the exact amounts of the checks. And then he gave me, I expressed my enthusiasm for spreading this movement in that letter, and then he wrote me back. He said, I can see that you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy, eager to spread this Krishna consciousness movement, enthusiastic to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. So he said, continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So that's a fact. As soon as you show enthusiasm, as soon as you manifest enthusiasm, Krishna will bless you. So you have to understand this fact. Do you want Krishna's blessings?
Yes.
Jai. Then be enthusiastic. To get up in the morning, chant your rounds, take bath, have Mangal Arati at home or at the temple. Be enthusiastic about this process, and Krishna will shower his blessings. You will feel his blessings showering upon you. Why is it not the same and grow higher all the time? Because your enthusiasm is breaking. You have to, if you maintain it steadily, it will never be the same. It will get better every day. Devotional service is like a river that flows. A stagnant river becomes foul, but a flowing river is fresh, you see. A stagnant river becomes stale. So you got to keep your devotional service flowing, flowing, always trying to increase your love for Krishna every day. More bhakti, more bhakti, more bhakti, more bhakti. If you have that desire to become more and more Krishna conscious every day, you'll wake up every day, wow, another day to increase my Krishna consciousness. That's the purpose of your day every day. The other things are external. The real purpose of every day now is another day to become more Krishna conscious. That's the purpose of every single day of your life. You wake up with that understanding. If you don't have that understanding, all I can say is good luck, because you're going to struggle. But if you wake up, today is another day to increase my Krishna consciousness. Every day will be an ecstatic celebration of Krishna bhakti for you. Next question.
How can we deliver our friends or peers, equals, if they want to enjoy sense gratification, even though they theoretically understand it will not satisfy them and is dangerous? Set up a good example of being a person, good Krishna conscious devotee, and your enthusiasm will help them also to see Lord Chaitanya's Apani Achari Prabhu's act. So if you show your own example of being very enthusiastically engaged in Krishna service, they will gradually take up. You don't have to deliver them.
Now a question from Down Under, Australia. From Melbourne, Australia, a question has come in. Bhakti Priya Devi Dasi. How to get rid of the bodily concept of life? The easy way is you just replace it with a spiritual conception. If you simply try to say, I'm not this body, I'm not this body, I'm not this body, without affirming your spiritual identity, it won't work. So my bodies just try to negate the bodily concept, but they do not replace it with a full-blown spiritual concept. So they're not successful. They fall back again to material consciousness. But if you will replace your bodily concept of yourself with a spiritual concept of yourself, I'm not this body, I am the spirit soul seated within the body, like the driver within the car, and I have to engage this body in Krishna's service. It's not me, but it's the instrument Krishna has given me with which to serve him. So if you keep that consciousness, of who you actually are, you see, then the false concept will immediately go away. If you just try to negate the false concept, it won't work. You have to affirm your, I am Krishna's eternal servant. I'm a spirit soul temporarily encased in this body. But if I use this body in Krishna's service, I'll be released from this bodily concept and I'll come back to realize I'm an eternal spiritual being, one of the eternally associates of Krishna and his transcendental pastimes in the spiritual world. Okay, your turn.
Nearly 8 o'clock and the doors, temple doors will open, but this is kirtan also, spoken kirtan, so we'll remain seated and continue with the question and answer session until there's a natural end to those. So please remain seated, don't get up and walk around, you'll get some time to get darshan before the doors close again.
When does the door close, at 8:30? So we'll end, we'll give you some time for darshan before, we'll end like 8:20 and give you 10 minutes for darshan. In Vrindavan, it's standard. They have Bhagavatam class with the temple, with the deities open. And everybody sits for the class. It's a standard thing in Vrindavan. Okay, go ahead. I can't hear you. What is it?
We have a few questions left and we will end then. So that everybody can have darshan.
When?
As soon as we have a few questions and then...
All right. A few more questions then. Okay. Is there any similarity between bhakti and the power of positive thinking? Yes. Bhakti is the real power of positive thinking, and the other power of positive thinking is actually only a shadow. It's not real positive thinking. Next question.
You said that if I want to develop more faith in Krishna, I must be with pure devotees, but how do I know who is a pure devotee? Read Srila Prabhupada's books and you will know what are the actions of the pure devotees. Pure devotees speaks only about Krishna, acts in Krishna consciousness, and their activities and their life is fully molded with Krishna. So those are the pure devotees with whom I associate.
How do we get more and more attachment to chanting the Hare Krishna mantra? Keep chanting, 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 because chanting is enchanting. Next. We can do them. Okay. We just kind of breeze through these here. How can I achieve peace in life? Surrender to Krishna. How to become determined in Krishna consciousness? Remember, I have a siksha guru for you. That's the little sparrow. If you've studied Bhagavad Gita, you know there's a little sparrow. And she was very determined to get her eggs back. The ocean stole the eggs.
ocean would not return them. So she was trying on her own to get the eggs back, drying up the ocean, like one drop at a time. Take a drop out of the ocean, put it in the shore. The ocean wasn't giving the eggs, but then Garuda heard what they're doing to his little sister, and he wasn't very happy with that. He has all mystic powers. He came flying in on Garuda Airlines and said, "You better tell the ocean, you better give those eggs back, and I'll dry you up." So in this way, if you become very determined to become Krishna conscious, you'll be helped. You get help from higher authorities. Like she got help by Garuda. Guru will help you. Krishna will help you. Chaitanya, the Seis Goswamis. There's so many great, powerful personalities who will actually help you. If you're determined to be Krishna conscious and make the world Krishna conscious, you'll get so many great personalities who are helping you. You won't be alone. Be determined and you'll find so many people in the world around you, and also great personalities that we can't even see will be helping you to become fixed in being and spreading Krishna consciousness. So there are no more written questions now. Let's see if we can breeze through a couple of the ones from the internet. And Dakshayani Devi Dasi from Malaysia wants to know about Vastu. Do we have to observe that? It's not required. Prabhupada didn't do that. He didn't really say. Prabhupada never said we had to observe it. If you like to observe it, there's no harm. But it's not a requirement, because Krishna consciousness is transcendental to time and space. It's not required to do Vastu, or the architectural system, the Vedic system of how to arrange buildings according to the directions. It can be done, but it's not. I think they're doing that in Mayapur. It can be done, but it's not required to do that. How to remain in the consciousness of engaging body, soul, and mind in words and grossness. This is from Kashmir coming in. How to always be fully absorbed in Krishna's service. Just remember, this is your only hope for real happiness. If you don't engage yourself fully in Krishna's service, you're not going to be happy. It's a very simple problem, a very simple situation. And you have to just simply focus on being Krishna conscious. How to do that 24/7? Just like I said, wake up every day determined, today I will be more Krishna conscious today than I've ever been in my whole life. Every day you wake up with that determination. Let this be the most Krishna conscious day I've ever had in my whole life. And if you maintain that focus, you'll have an amazing experience every day. So we'll go ahead and stop here. And we thank you all very much for coming tonight, coming out to hear about pure devotional service, which is the most important thing you will ever hear about or develop in your lives. So we hope you all will take this very seriously to become pure devotees. And we wish you all success on your pathway back to home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai!